Good morning and welcome to our Lord's Day service, and we do hope that the service is a blessing to you. The beautiful flowers you see today are in honor of Lucille, who's turning 100 years old on Wednesday, and we're wishing Lucille a wonderful and blessed birthday. Today we will be partaking in communion, and our communion is an open one, so we urge you at home to be a part of that and to participate with us when we come to that portion of the service. We want to welcome Marcia, who will be helping us with our singing, and you at home, we hope you belt out the hymns with us, and she'll also be participating in a trio later on in the service. Her mom, Linda, who is our lay reader for today. Let us turn our hearts to worship the Lord.
Our call to worship today is found in Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. Our reflection today is written by Kathleen Harris, entitled The False Prophet of Fear. There's nothing funny about the pandemic, even for those personally untouched. A sense of foreboding saturates every waking hour. On gloomy days, when buckets of rain pour down from Door County's sweet sky and thunder booms in sudden wallops, I want to hide under the bed with my dog Penny. And then there are other days, or at least moments of days, when I turn my gaze from fear's altar. I am a vessel receiving the balm of grace. An unexpected phone call, the juicy burst of flavor from orchard-picked cherries, fireflies blinking at the edge of storm-kissed woods, appearing suddenly here and there in the falling darkness. We can be the balm, the palliative oil, for others, too. We can catch our startled minds before they fixate on Facebook frenzy or preposterous conspiracy theories. We can work to control our fear, which is really grief for a world that is irretrievable. We can try to stop fear from coming out of our mouths sideways, silencing angry words before they hurt people we love and people we've never met. We can forgive the angry missiles that come at us, holding other shards of pain and then setting shards aside. We can even laugh at the absurd incongruities of our brave new world. Take mask fashion. Who would have thought a year ago that it would be a thing? And we can pray. Remember, the Spirit still sends us gifts of grace. But first, we have to blink, and in so doing, unlock our eyes from the false prophet of fear with its addictive adrenaline rush of terror. An anonymous child imprisoned in the Terezin concentration camp in 1941 provides us with perspective. Hey, try to open up your heart to beauty. Go to the woods someday and weave a wreath of memory there. Then, if the tears obscure your way, you'll know how wonderful it is to be alive. Please join us in singing hymn 675, What Brought Us Together.
Clarinetist was, that's Linda Van Dyke. We're so delighted that she's here today. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, she was a singing nun. For our praise reports and prayer concerns today, we're so grateful that the Lord has given Lucille 100 years of life. We're so grateful for Don and Donna, who are celebrating their 62nd wedding anniversary this weekend. We want to remember in our prayers Jaden Michael. We want to remember Carrie, who lost her husband Craig. He had died in his sleep. We want to remember Dean, who was undergoing cancer treatments, and a friend of Linda Carey's, Angela, who is trying an experimental chemo treatment. And we found out this morning that one of our young families had to put their dog to sleep. His name was Rudy. And we want to remember the family today. It's awfully tough to lose a family member, even a four-legged one. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful that we are gathered here today, so grateful for your mercy, your grace, and your kindness, so grateful that Lucille is marking her 100th year of life. We ask that you would continue to strengthen her. We're so grateful for Don and Donna and their 62 years of marriage. We ask that they might celebrate in joy. Friend of little children, we continue to lift up to you Jaden. We're so grateful that he's home. We ask that you would continue to lead and guide his family. We ask that you would be with Carrie as she mourns the death of her dear husband, that you would strengthen her and give to her your peace. For Dean and Angela, as they struggle with cancer, that your strength would be upon them. And Lord, we would remember especially today Henry, Matilda, and Winfield as they mourn the loss of their beloved pet Rudy, that you would grant to them your comfort. We bring ourselves to you today as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament scripture lesson is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 16 through 24. Then the people answered Joshua, Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. And the people said to Joshua, No, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. He said, Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey. Our New Testament reading is taken from the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming. And now it is already in the world. Little children, you are from God and have conquered them. For the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. From this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, and God lives in us, and his love is perfected by us, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How do you go into something brand new with your old self? Those of you who were single and then got married understand exactly what I'm talking about. Something new is happening, and it's exciting and wonderful, and you bring your old single self into marriage, and if you're not careful, things fall apart really rapidly. I remember performing a marriage for a dear friend, and within 2 weeks, she was asking for prayer for her marriage, because these two single people came in, and they didn't know what to do with this new thing. How do you deal with new things? How do you deal when you come to a new place with your old self? I know when I came here 10 years ago, I was my old New York self, and I had to make some tweaks to my personality. How do we find how to conduct ourselves in a new way? And in this year, every single one of us is in a new place, whether we like it or not. How do we do that? How do we bring our old selves into a new way of being? Today, we celebrate in the Moravian Church what we call the Festival of August 13th. And the ancient church had to figure out how to be in a new way, in a new place, with their old selves. And if you remember the story of our church, it was an underground church for about a century. In the 1600s in the Czech Republic, the Moravians had to go underground in order to survive. Now you can imagine, if you're an underground church, A, how tough you've got to be, how resilient you need to be, and how you have to be very convinced of what you're about. Because if you're not, it's not worth it. I'm not going to go to jail for something that I'm not completely convinced is right. And these people knew they had to put their lives on the line if they were ever caught when they were practicing their faith. So for a century, they had to be very tough people. They had to be single-minded, and they had to have a single-minded devotion. Well, then everything changed for them, because in the 1700s, they emigrated to Germany, and they emigrated to a place of safety and of love. It was on the estate of a wealthy nobleman named Count von Zinzendorf, and they named the place Herrnhut, which means the Lord's watch. And so they went from a place of danger to a place of safety, a place where they could not worship freely to a place where they could be themselves. So you would think in a new reality that, well, you're in paradise and everything's wonderful. Until it wasn't, because they brought their old selves to that new place. And they started to see cracks in their community because everybody was absolutely convinced that they were right and that their way was right. And they brought the same passion from their old life into their new life. And arguments broke out. And it was a very tough time to be in that new place. And fortunately, their benefactor, this count, rather than kicking him off their land, because he was a very, he was quite loving and kind and wanted to form a beloved community, and the beloved community wasn't forming, and rather than telling them, get out and I'll start with a new group, he decided to work with them and he prayed with them. And on August 13th in the 1700s, something wondrous happened in a church service. The people of God gathered, and they said that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. They were baptized in love, and when they left that place, they were completely transformed. And they were able to live in that new place with a new understanding. Gone were the firm doctrinal holds, and what took their place was a love for Jesus, which then translated in a love for each other. What took hold in that place was that they not only took care of each other and themselves, but then they looked beyond themselves. And they saw people in indigenous places that were being oppressed, and they decided to go there and preach a liberating gospel. The reason that we exist today is because of what happened in the 1700s. And the only way we can bring our old selves into a new reality is we have to change our outlook. It's the same thing that Joshua was talking about of old when he was telling his people, when you go into the promised land, you've got to be different. You got to put the old ways behind and you've got to be different. And how did he say to be different? Did he say change your personality? Well, I'm still the same person I was 10 years ago. You can't change your personality. Did he say change your method? No, he said cling to God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Serve the Lord, and the Lord will help you to be a different person. And that's what we need today. We're all in a new reality. And if we want to not only survive this reality, but change and grow, we need to focus on the one who can help us do that, on the one who loves us beyond all telling, on the one who knows the future and knows how to guide us into it. So if you're wondering, how do I deal with this new place, with my same old self, I have good news. If we cling to God, if we look to the Savior, we can march into this new reality in peace, in hope, in joy. Not the way we were before. And I want to make this clear. When we go back to normal, okay, whatever normal is, I hope we do not go back the same way we are now. I hope we go back with a loving perspective, with taking care of our neighbors, with loving the least of these, and knowing that our God still reigns. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that the ancient Moravians took a hold of you. They loved each other dearly. And then they looked beyond to places that needed your love. I ask that you would empower each of us with your Holy Spirit so that we might find new ways of being in this new world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Our Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This bread is my broken body given for you. Let us partake together." Jesus Christ took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Let us partake of the cup together." Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It is now my distinct honor to present Marcia and Chuck Ellis. We're so delighted that they're joining today in membership. Now, if you know anything about our church, we usually put people to work right away, even before they become members, because we want to make sure that they're in it for keeps. And so anytime Chuck would be around, we would press him into the choir. Marcia, we'd do the same thing, and we'd make her do solos too. Marcia represents the fifth generation in her family to become members of this church. Now, ordinarily in a membership induction, we would pass the fellowship, right hand of fellowship. We won't do that. I'll give you a virtual hug of fellowship. We're so delighted that you are joining today. And we know that this will be many years of joy with both you and Chuck.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
And we promised that they wouldn't have to say anything. But of course, Marcia's pressed into service again because we are going to be singing in a trio, Carry the Light. Spirit be with you all in the name of Jesus. Amen.